Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Patty Kramer. Patty is an author, speaker, consultant, certified professional organizer, and organizer coach. She helps corporate and individual clients become more productive and perform better while at the same time simplifying their work and their lives. Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers, Patty.
Thanks, Karma. Good to be here.
Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little about your journey to success in public speaking?
Oh, and it's been a journey. Oddly enough, I was always the class clown when I was growing up, but anytime I had to give a speech, I just froze. Speaking journey had a really rocky start, and in 1989, I was asked to present to the management of the company I was working for. And it was in Virginia, and right before I left on vacation, they told me I had to do this. I was going to Phoenix on vacation. So I knew before I left for that vacation I was not doing that presentation. Before I left Phoenix to come back home, we put money down on an apartment, came back, gave 2 weeks notice. So obviously, my journey was pretty rocky to begin with.
So you moved to another state to avoid giving a presentation?
Virginia to Arizona, specifically, yeah. We kind of went across country for that. And then what happened was later on in my career, a few careers later, I started my own business to do, of all things, seminars, and I couldn't speak in public still. I thought I would just die. But I had a passion inside that I really felt I needed to share with other people, just with my message. And so I joined Toastmasters 10 years later. I didn't die. I started to speak. I realized that I had an in-demand message on organizing and simplifying life, and I went on to really fulfill that mission, is what I would call it. And I continue to do so until now.
Wow. I still can't get over you moved to another state to avoid fear of public speaking. That is probably the most unique avoidance behavior I've ever heard.
Well, I actually did it again. I was in California as a golf pro. I was a teaching golf professional, and I was doing one-on-one lessons, and I was asked to do clinics, and I ended up moving to Pittsburgh. So there you go. It happened twice, but I was going to leave that one out.
Oh, wow.
So I stopped running. I got tired of running and decided to face it head on.
That's good. So now, given your unique experience here, do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something you are born being able to do, and why?
Well, I believe, for me, of course, it was a learned skill. Some may have been born with that gift. I just wasn't among them. And I learned that if you aren't born with that particular gift of being able to speak in public, it is able to be learned. I found that the key to being able to speak in public successfully is to know your topic, speak about what you're passionate about, and then really just speak from the heart. And I learned that over the first couple of years in my business, and it will never fail you.
Yeah, that has been a recurring theme with all the people I've been talking with. When I first started off on this project, I thought there would be this long list of superpowers, but it's really just boiled down to about those three. Those are the keys. The keys to success in public speaking is just talk about what you know and are passionate about and be yourself, speak from the heart.
And I'll bet you everybody that you spoke with also told you that if they ever spoke on a topic they were not passionate about or didn't know very well, it's very difficult to convince your audience that you're in it. And those are the kind of things you have to say no to. If somebody asks me to speak on a topic I'm not good at, that's not my thing, I will help them find a speaker before I will say yes to that speaking engagement.
And that's a very, very good advice. In fact, one of the speakers I spoke with, he started off saying, I'll speak about anything.
And boy, that's so hard. I mean, if you're good, I mean, maybe you're good. I'm just not that good.
Right. I mean, I think you can give a passable presentation. I mean, you can give one that's factual. It doesn't have the right stuff. It doesn't have that special something, that spark.
Right. When I'm done with a program, I like to know that I gave everything I have, and it was not about me. It was only about the audience. And if I'm struggling and worrying about what I'm going to say next, I'm not paying attention to them. If I'm focusing on me and worrying about the topic, then I'm not paying attention to what they need, and that's just not fair.
Right. And also, I mean, just something I'm sure you've experienced this too, is when you give a presentation that you're really, really into, you're going to get better feedback from your audience.
No question.
Because, I mean, I was a Toastmaster for many years. In fact, I'm thinking of rejoining. And I found that when I gave the first manual, you have these 10 speeches and you have to come up with these 10 different topics.
Right.
The speeches that I ended up giving that were on a topic I was really excited about, those were the ones where people after the meeting went, oh, Karma, that was really good. And the ones where I was like, yeah, I was just doing it because the manual requested that I do it.
Right.
Not at all.
No, and anybody can detect that, even if it's just talking into an informal group or whether you're giving a presentation to thousands of people. They know if you're in it. You've been an audience member and known.
Yes.
You hear speakers and you think, boy, they're just struggling, and it's uncomfortable for both the audience and the speaker.
And, you know, there's another interesting aspect to that. You can speak on something that you're really passionate about, but if you give that same presentation too many times or when you're tired, that spark disappears, even though it is a topic you're into. You're just not into it in that moment.
Yeah, and that happens. And, you know, whether you're sick, I've gone on the platform when I'm ill because you are obligated to do so. I would never, the audience doesn't know it, but you really, really just have to somehow dig as deep as you can go, find the energy, and usually almost every time I will find it and then collapse when I'm done.
Yeah.
But you have to find it when you're on the platform. I'm a member of the National Speakers Association, and I learned so many key foundational keys to being successful as a speaker, and one of them was to really, no matter what, you owe it to your audience to deliver the best and not let them see you sweat. And I've just always adhered to that, and I will get up on the platform. I don't care how I feel. I will just say my little prayer beforehand and do my little rituals that I have and go out there and just connect with the audience. And again, I've many times gone back after I'm done and collapsed. But
yeah. That's
okay. I did what I had to do.
Right. So now imagine that you are a public speaking superhero. What do you believe would be your main superpowers?
Wow. I think that my superpower would be the power to simplify any given situation. And, you know, I was thinking, if you're tired of all the clutter in your life, then just stop bringing it in. If you don't have enough time, stop doing half of the things that you do. If you don't have space in your life, declutter the space that you have. Don't go get new space or more space.
Right.
This is something that I was thinking about. I have most of my clients say, you know what, I don't have any time or money to have you help me work to organize my life. Well, then stay out of the drive-thru line at Starbucks that takes 15 minutes and $6.50 for a cup of coffee. Do you see the connection? I know we have a drive-thru Starbucks down this road. There's at least 10 cars in line all day and night. And those are the people that are saying, I don't have any time or money, but they'll wait 15 minutes and spend $6.50 for a cup of coffee. So start making your coffee at home. You know, if you don't like talking on the phone, don't answer it.
And sometimes it's really hard to let go.
Oh, no.
Because I know I'm a collector. I mean, I have a huge dragon collection, and I collect cows, and I collect books. It's like letting go of those things is sometimes like, you know, letting go of my firstborn child.
Oh, absolutely. If you are a collector, that's great, but don't tell anybody.
Oh, no, I've just recorded it.
And exactly. If you tell everybody what you collect, then I mean, for birthdays, holidays, whatever it is, you always get all those. And people are, when they go on vacations, they bring you one back, which is really great. Collections are wonderful as long as you know what enough is.
Right.
And if your collections are taking over, then you need to maybe do a treasure hunt and pick out your favorite 20 or 10 or 5 or 100, whatever it might be. It's just a matter of really becoming happy with the collection and not feel like it's invading your life. Not yours in particular, Karma.
Right, yeah.
But in general.
Yes, I understood that. Now, applying that to the platform, how does one simplify a topic using sort of organizing as an analogy?
I think that it just really comes down to knowing the needs of your audience and being real while you're talking. I have handouts and I have a program that's very organized. All my programs are very organized. I'm imagining you guessed that.
Yeah. I would hope so, given what you are, an organizer.
But I really include the audience, whether it's before doing a pre-program survey or just when I get there. I get there a couple of hours early. I greet everybody. I talk to them about what they're going through and simplifying it and talking with them and not at them. So when I'm doing a program, I always preface the program with, hey, I know this stuff. I can hear me talk all day long, but what do you need? If I'm saying something about time management or organizing your life or your office or your home, and it's just not making sense to you, and you're hearing me thinking, she's crazy, just stop me and say, you're crazy, and then tell me how you want to talk it through. And many times, some of the most amazing answers come out of those interruptions, because that's what it's all about, is simplifying their situation. When I say, don't answer the phone, people look at me like, I never thought of that. They just never think to not answer their phone.
Yeah, I'm a compulsive phone answerer.
And, you know, there are options.
There are options.
If you don't like getting a ton of emails, stop sending so many and answering the ones that you do get within a nanosecond. Those are the habits that we create, thinking we have to do stuff, but really, if you turn everything you do upside down and say, do I have to do this, versus I have to do this, it's turning it into a question, and it really can make a big impact on your perspective.
You know, an interesting side note about the email thing is there was research done that email can lower your IQ. And the reason why it does that is because you're constantly letting yourself be interrupted, which means your thoughts never finish. I mean, it's not like you actually get stupider, but you get stupider in the moment.
That's a good point. You lose all your energy and your drive. You know how you get the little window at the bottom that shows a little window, it fades on and fades off to tell you you have a new email?
Yeah.
Or the sound that you have, or the little envelope in the bottom right-hand corner by your clock, you can turn all those alerts off. And
right.
People don't know that either. I turn those off, and I tell you, my productivity went up almost 100% because when I saw that window, I'm like, ooh, somebody loves me. And I would run over there to look at my email, and now I don't do that several times a day, but not nearly as often as I did before.
Right. Yeah, that was definitely a skill that I'm still honing.
Well, and you know what? It's challenging. If you just challenge yourself to turn those things off for just a week, you'll see the difference.
Yeah.
The simplifying on the platform, if I were to have a superpower that makes everything simple, I really, truly believe connecting to your audience makes that ability possible. Because you just listen to them and give them what they need and make it real, and it all boils down to what's right for them.
Right. And it seems like another aspect of that simplifying is that if you're a speaker, more than likely you're an expert that knows an awful lot about the topic you're going to talk about. But you're not going to be telling them everything they need to know, but we're afraid to ask.
Right.
You need to like decide, okay, I know 10 things, I'm going to tell them 5.
Exactly.
And you choose the 5 that are right for that audience.
And they don't know what you don't tell them.
Right.
They only know what you do tell them. So if you feel like when you're done you didn't tell them everything, they don't know that, unless it was obviously a key point that you promised. But
right.
But it is. It's really helpful to keep it to have a guideline, whether it's a handout or just your own program, so that you don't keep getting sidetracked and going down roads that don't keep the topic online, but just making sure you're delivering what they're looking for.
Right. Now, what kind of advice would you give someone if they wanted to develop this particular superpower as well?
Wow. Okay. Well, I would suggest that you don't accept what you've always done as the only way to do it. If you want to make some changes, then you just sort of have to open up your horizons a little bit. The biggest thing that I would say is to recognize that you have choices and to exercise that right. Saying yes isn't always the only option. So for speaking or if you're just in life in general, you don't always have to say yes to everything. You need to think beyond this moment right now with how it's going to impact you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your bits of wisdom with us today, as well as that awesome story of public speaking fear avoidance.
And boy, was it ever.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Karma. It's been a pleasure.
You're very welcome. This is the end of today's episode of Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on her picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.